So the resurrection and the longing for more. I wanted to think about the resurrection in terms of it gives us a new hope, a fresh longing. And the one of the things that struck me freshly this time, I suppose I've been thinking about what new thing can you say about the Easter story? Because we've heard it so often and it's so familiar, the danger is that we lose its excitement. And but there's always new things to learn. None of us has got there yet that we know everything. We can always learn new things. And a new take on a familiar story can sometimes be really powerful. So let's hope that this is powerful as I seek to bring a new take. But one thing that's really struck me recently is that the universe is full of death and resurrection. It's just part of the way things are. We see it simply, for example, in winter time, things die off. Life dies in winter and springs back into life in the springtime. And in every minute, our bodies, in every minute, do you know that 300 million cells in your body die every minute? Just think about that. 300 million cells in your body die every minute and are new formed again. So that next time you go into the shower and you see all that skin falling off, you'll not just say, Lord, thank you for death and resurrection. Thank you for death and resurrection. New life. I am a new creation, quite literally, a new creation. So in the universe, death and resurrection is a doorway into a new beginning. All begins with Christ, continues with Christ, and is made complete in Christ. The essence of the good news is the bringing together of all things in Christ. I love the Easter story. I love how it's Mary Magdalene who is blessed as being the first person to encounter the risen Jesus. Mary, who had so much baggage in her life and had seen so much difficulty. What does that say to us about the gospel, the good news? The good news is for everyone. It reaches everyone. There's nobody who cannot be touched by the encounter of the risen Christ. But do you not think it's strange that what he says to her, the message that he gives to Mary to take back to the brothers, he says, don't cling to me, because obviously she wanted to hold on to him. I mean, you've just seen the Lord raised from the dead. You would want to hang on to that. But he says, don't cling to me. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. I'm ascending, I'm going up. Apart from the obvious good news in affirming to Mary that we all share the same Father and the same God, even as Jesus' Father and God, we share the same Father, the same God. That's good news in itself. But why did he want to tell the brothers that he was going up to the Father? Something, incidentally, he didn't do for another 40 days. He spends 40 days appearing as the risen Christ to various people. Why does he say this message? Would you not expect him to simply say to Mary, go and tell the brothers and sisters that I'm not dead, I'm alive? Why does it say I'm going up to the Father? Why don't you turn to your neighbor and ask each other that question and see if you can come up with an answer? Why does he say, go and tell the brothers, I'm going up, I'm ascending to the Father? You've got 15 seconds. Okay, anybody got any answers? Why go up? Why ascend? Right, okay, so he wants to give some assurance that he's not going to be around forever, although he is in another form. That would be a good reason. Sarah's been reading my notes. Maybe because he's alive, but he's different. Yeah, well, that was where I was going with this. Clearly, he was different. Clearly he was different. The risen Jesus was in a different state. Now some say he was in a glorified state. But we know that he could still touch and be touched. And we know that he could still speak and talk and walk and eat. But did he need to sleep in those 40 days? Did he still hunger and thirst in those 40 days? Don't know. Bible doesn't tell us that. I wonder, maybe not, but maybe yes. I don't know. But the risen Christ has given us something to long for, something to hope for. He's given us a longing and a hope for life to be more full, more complete, more wholesome, more loving, more full of peace and kindness. That's surely a huge reason for the resurrection and implication of it. He's given us something to long for and hope for, a hope beyond death. And I think this longing and hoping is a beautiful thing for us because our hope is rooted in the certainty of the resurrection and in the coming of heaven. The resurrection of Christ gives us a passion to see what's possible. This is why the risen Jesus talks in heavenly terms about belonging above. He came from the state of heaven, and the kingdom of God was the mission that he started. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And death and resurrection are key marks of that kingdom that we are now invited to embrace. So like Jesus, we too are to turn our thoughts heavenward in order to play our part in making the earth more heavenly under the headship and reign of Christ. Because Paul says in that letter to the Corinthians, he says, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through Christ. It's something that has begun. The resurrection from the dead means that atmospheres can be changed. Me and my family, I had a foretaste of this every summer when we used to go to clan gatherings. Some of you would have been there. Clan stands for Christians linked across the nation. It wasn't a group of people gathering together in tartan dress. It was something very different, although one or two people did wear a kilt. But it was Christians linked across the nation. And the atmosphere in the campsite was always one of warmth, despite the weather. And it was about people looking out for each other. There was a sense of people dwelling in harmony. If you like, it was a foretaste of heaven. It wasn't until you left the campsite and you went into the town centre that you realised that humanity wasn't yet perfect. And the kingdom of God was still to reach lots of areas of our world. But it was a foretaste of something good. Now, I'm not advocating that we all need to retreat into little cliques. That's not the essence of the gospel. But I think the coming, the desire for the coming of the kingdom of heaven is what we seek. And the foretaste, we can have foretastes of it in our gatherings. The foretaste is good, and we can make it spread through our own networks, longing and hoping for the Spirit of Christ to work with us in changing atmospheres in our families, in our workplaces, in our homes, and in the streets of our villages. You can see why the church, the body of the risen Christ, is God's idea for raising atmospheres to a new level. We're involved in nothing less than the making of the new heavens and the new earth that the prophet Isaiah speaks about in chapter 65, where Jerusalem is created to be a delight and a joy. Its people a joy. Where infants no longer die in infancy, or old men don't live out their years, where there is equality and justice, where people will no longer labor in vain or build houses they could never afford to live in, where the wolf and the lamb will feed together and nothing will cause harm or be destroyed. These are things from Isaiah's vision which are referenced in the Easter story of resurrection. In fact, one of the readings for today is Isaiah 65. 17 to 25, those very verses, because there's something in what Jesus has done in giving us a foretaste of that new heaven and new earth. So let's rejoice in the Easter resurrection, and let's expect atmospheres to be raised up as we know ourselves in Christ together as both a future glory, but also beginning now as a present reality. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you raise us up. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Show us how we can take steps to help bring your kingdom that bit closer. In Jesus' name, amen.